fun. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight, and it's going to be a little different than usual because Mom's not here, therefore there will be no piano music, and also she won't be leading a Bible study tonight, but we're still going to study God's Word, and we're still going to worship the Lord. So before we do any of that, we are going to open with a prayer right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, for Thy mercy, for Thy grace. We thank Thee, O God, for this special opportunity to come before Thee, to be in Thy presence. And I pray, O God, that we'd all feel a touch from Thee here tonight. I pray, O God, that Thy presence would be here, that Thy Spirit would be here, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to be fully dedicated to Thee tonight, that let our focus be on Thee and on Thee only. And I pray, O God, that each and everything we do here this night will be pleasing in Thy sight. We ask for Thy blessing to be upon this service, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start in the chorus book here tonight, and we're going to open with number 115. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Number 115. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise God. And we do serve a God who has put His joy in our hearts, and we serve a God who is greater than any other being, any other force in this universe. There is no other power like our God. And we're going to turn now to number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord. Number 40. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to look across the page now and sing number 34, How Great is Our God, number 34. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 70. And we are going to sing, If You Believe, You Shall Receive. Number 70. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, yes. Wonderful things happen when you believe on the Lord. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 105 and sing Only Believe, number 105. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. not possible. Only believe. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. We believe thee, Lord. We believe thy promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all thy abundant blessings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast given us, for this place where we can come and gather in thy name. We thank thee that thou hast sustained us and kept us for so many years. For we know that we could not be here. We know that we could not do this without thy help. And we are so grateful, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. I pray that thou would continue to lead this ministry. Give us great direction in everything that we do. Give us thy great wisdom. Help us to know how to proceed in the days ahead. Help us to know how to use these funds for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. We ask, O God, that thou bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a prayer request tonight. I got a text from Rob earlier, and apparently Tori had just recently started a new job, and somehow during the course of working that job, she came down with an infection, and from the sound of it, it seems like she's not going to be going back there, so she wants prayer for healing and prayer that the workers' comp situation will also be all worked out, and of course prayer to find a new job. So we're going to bring his petition before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night. We bring Tori before thee, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, praying, O God, that thou would heal her by thy mighty hand and that thou would strengthen her. We pray, O God, that this infection would be completely resolved, completely taken away, for we know, O God, that nothing is too hard for thee. We know that thou art a healer. We know that by thy stripes we are healed, and we pray that this infection would be gone in your precious name, Jesus. And we pray, O God, that any issues surrounding this worker's comp situation, we pray that it would be completely resolved. We pray that it all would go smoothly and that there would be no problems. We pray, O God, that thou would lead Tori in her steps and direct her to the proper place of employment. Lead her and direct her in all things. Guide her, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name for the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word tonight, and I know it's a little different not having any music tonight, but on Sunday, the plan is to have Vicky, my sister, play the guitar for us, so that should be new and interesting and exciting all at the same time. Praise God, we're looking forward to that. But we're going to turn now to number 77 in the chorus book, and before we get into the Word, we're going to sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, it always is a challenge singing without music, but we do what we have to do. Praise the Lord. And we are going to open our Bibles now. Praise the Lord. Just waiting for the green light upstairs. And there it is. So praise the Lord. Hopefully everything's recording all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to open our Bibles this night to start with to Luke, the 17th chapter. Praise the Lord. Luke 17, and I'm going to put a title on the message here tonight. We are calling this, Nothing Shall Be Impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. And before we read even one verse here tonight, we are going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for this blessed word that Thou hast set before us. And I pray, O God, as we look upon these blessed scriptures, I pray that our hearts would be moved. I pray, O God, that our minds would be fixed on Thee. I pray that our souls would be stirred to follow Thee more closely, to be obedient to Thee. I pray, O God, that Thou would open our eyes to Thy scripture. Help us, O God, to understand Thy word. Give us the spirit of discernment and understanding, O God, for we know that it is only by Thy grace and only by Thy Spirit that we can understand or comprehend anything. We know that Thy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and we need Thy Spirit so very much. So let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us here this night as we look upon these blessed scriptures. We pray, O God, that there would be no hindrances here this night. We bind and we break any force of darkness that would come against us, any hindering power that would try to stop us from studying Thy Word here tonight. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. You know, we serve a God who can do anything. He truly can. We serve a God who is never in a situation where He is beside Himself and doesn't know what to do. He always knows what to do 100% of the time. Our God is never stuck. He is almighty and He is all-knowing. And He is everywhere in this universe. Oh, yes, there are no limits to our God. And I'm putting a title on this, Nothing Shall Be Impossible, because we know that by God's Spirit, we can do things that otherwise would seem impossible. We know that God helps His people. Now, the Scriptures tell us that nothing shall be impossible when God is with us. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. And you can read this Bible cover to cover, and you will find that the Scriptures tell us that there is only one thing that is impossible with God. There is only one thing that God cannot do. You find that in Hebrews chapter 6, and it is impossible for God to lie. That is the only thing that He cannot do. And that is because when He speaks, the creation obeys. The creation must obey because He is sovereign. He is almighty. And He can do all things. Therefore, when He speaks the words that come from the Lord, they are pure truth. And there is nothing that can be done to stop the word of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, that's what I did. It wasn't Luke. It was Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Praise the Lord. I wrote down the wrong thing on my paper, but praise God. See, nothing is impossible. The Lord helped me remember where it is I needed to go. Matthew chapter 17. Praise God. Matthew chapter 17, and we are going to start with the 14th verse. Matthew 17, verse 14, and it tells us, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now this was a very desperate situation here. This man had a boy who was afflicted by an evil spirit. And we know that today there are evil spirits who afflict many people. That is still going on today. And a lot of times what they'll do when someone has an evil spirit, they'll say they're mentally disturbed or that they have a mental illness. And sometimes they will prescribe medications for what they perceive to be a mental illness. But you know what? A lot of the things they call mental illnesses today are actually demonic possession. And this boy, he was troubled by a devil, by an evil spirit, who would cause him to hurt himself. And you wonder about people sometimes why they do these things that hurt themselves so much. And it is because they have a devil causing them to have that desire to hurt themselves. And you know, sometimes people will be cutters, you know, they'll cut themselves and it leaves awful looking scars. You know what causes people to do things like that? Evil spirits. So this boy had a problem. He was said to be a lunatic. He was said to be vexed. And sometimes he would cast himself into the fire or try to drown himself in the water. And it was the evil spirits working in him that caused him to do these things. Verse 16 tells us, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now, to his disciples, this appeared to be a very stubborn devil. They tried to cast this devil out of this boy, and they couldn't do it. But it was no trouble for Jesus, because Jesus Christ, we know from all of our studies throughout the Bible, that we know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Oh, yes, he was man, but he was also God. And he has all power in heaven and in earth. So it wasn't a challenging thing for Jesus to cast this devil out. And there is great power in his name. So he rebuked the devil, it tells us in verse 18, and the child was cured from that very hour. Isn't it amazing how so often people will say they have an illness or a sickness, and when the devil is cast out of that person, the illness or the sickness goes too. Now, I'm not saying that every illness and every sickness is caused by an evil spirit, but sometimes they are. Sometimes that is the case. And no matter what the case may be, if we are sick, if we do have a problem, we know who can take that problem away. We know the one who can do the impossible. Verse 19 tells us, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Isn't that an amazing thought? That nothing is impossible in the name of Jesus. As long as what we are asking for lines up with the will of God, there is nothing that is impossible with him. And he's telling his disciples, if you have faith, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder, And it'll happen. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you, Jesus told them. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Now there are some devils who are stubborn, and they maybe require a little more effort, but we know that it was no hard thing for Almighty God robed in flesh, because when God speaks, the creation obeys every time. So that evil spirit had no choice. It had to go. And that was a bad one. But it went, didn't it? It went when Jesus spoke those words and ordered its departure. Praise the Lord. Now Jesus, he told the disciples here something very important. He told them that nothing shall be impossible. And that's something that we should really lay to heart, because we as human beings find ourselves in impossible situations all the time. We find ourselves with our backs up against the wall with nowhere to turn except to our Savior. But we serve the same God who rolled back the waters of the Red Sea so that the Israelites could cross on dry land. And we serve the same Almighty God who brought those 10 plagues upon the Egyptians and brought his people out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery by a mighty hand. We serve a God without limitations. Praise the Lord. Now we are going to go back to the book of Numbers now, and we're going to look at something that happened long ago. In fact, Numbers 13, where we are turning to, the story we find in this chapter took place in about 1445 B.C., so about 1,445 years before Jesus was here on earth. And this is an amazing story, Numbers 13, and we are going to see what happens when you do not believe on the Lord. We're going to see what happens when you just give up. When you feel like things are too hard. When things are too impossible. Now, the Israelites should have known better after everything that God had done for them. And I just mentioned some of those things that God did. He brought them over the Red Sea on dry land. He brought those plagues upon the Egyptians. He rained down manna from heaven so that they had food to eat in the wilderness. He provided them with water in the desert that was in short supply. And they wandered through that desert, that wilderness, for 40 years, and their clothes didn't wear out. Oh, he did so many miracles for his people. And some of those miracles were yet to come at this point in history, because the Israelites were about to make things much harder on themselves than they needed to be. Numbers 13, and in this chapter we see that the Israelites have come to the border of the land of Canaan, and it was that land, that promised land, that God had promised to his people, that he had promised to Abraham, that his seed would possess it, that Abraham's seed would possess this land. And they finally got there, and the Israelites, they say, we're going to send out spies just to see what's going on over there in the land of Canaan, just to check things out. And Numbers 13, verse 1 tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben: Shemua, the son of Zakur. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Paltai, the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gaddai the son of Susai. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel the son of Gamali. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai the son of Vapsai. Of the tribe of Gad, Yeuel the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. So here we see the names of the spies that went to check out the land of Canaan, and we're also told in verse 16 that Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And sometimes that's shortened even more to Joshua, as he is commonly known. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So here we see Moses giving them instructions. He's telling them, go into that land that God has promised us, and I want you to come back and bring a status report. And he asked for a lot of details on a lot of different things. And we know that this was a very, very good land, this land of Canaan. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. In fact, the grapes there were so incredible that it took two men to carry one bunch of grapes. Oh, they were very impressed by the fruit of the land and the good things of that land. But we're going to see that when they get there, they're faced with doubt and fears. And those fears really froze them in their tracks to the point where they couldn't do anything. And fear has that effect on people. It has a debilitating effect. It'll cause you to be unable to do the things that you need to do. People just freeze sometimes, like a deer in the headlights, you know, when they're afraid. And we're going to see that the vast majority of these spies that were sent came back very fearful, came back unbelieving. Verse 21 tells us, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Those must have been incredible grapes. You know, you could look at this as in two possible ways. Perhaps the grapes were enormous, or perhaps it was just an enormous cluster of grapes. Either way, it took two men to carry one cluster. And we see they found other good things, pomegranates. I enjoy pomegranates immensely. They are delicious. And figs. They found very wonderful things in this land. But even though they should have been excited about that, we're going to see that most of them weren't. Verse 24 tells us, the place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These were mighty people. They had mighty men of valor. They were giants, and they were intimidating." So here they are. They brought the fruit of the land, these spies, and they showed the Israelites this wonderful fruit, but they were lamenting the fact that there were these enormous, powerful, strong people inhabiting the land, and most of these spies were afraid of those giants. Verse 30 tells us, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Oh yes, there were giants in the land, and they seemed to have a lot of power, but that didn't bother Caleb, because he had the Lord on his side, and he knew it. And when you have the Lord on your side and you believe it and you embrace that, you will find that you have nothing to fear in this life. Caleb was not afraid of those giants. He was ready. He was willing. And he said, "We can go and we can do this right now. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." You know, they may have been right about that. Perhaps those people in those lands were stronger than the Israelites. But those people in those lands were not stronger than Almighty God. Verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.'" They were afraid. They were afraid to go and do what God had told them to do. Listen, if God tells you to do something, and He does do that sometimes, if He tells you to do something, He will enable you to do it. He is not going to tell you to do something and leave you unequipped to do what you need to do. But most of these spies, they were afraid. They said, "We can't take that land. Those people are enormous. We're as grasshoppers in their sight." But you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of evil spirits running around, and they try to be intimidating, just as these giants were intimidating for these people. But we have God on our side. And when you have God on your side, you don't have to be afraid of giants. You don't have to be afraid of evil spirits. You don't have to be afraid of people. You don't have to be afraid of anything. But you know, sometimes in the animal kingdom, there will be certain animals who, when they feel threatened, they'll try to make themselves look as big as possible. And evil spirits will do that too. They'll try to make themselves look big, fierce, intimidating. They want to scare you. But when you come at them in the name of Jesus, if that name of Jesus belongs to you, they are the ones who will be terrified of you. Praise God. So just as these Israelites would have to face these giants, we too face giants, although they may be spiritual in nature nowadays. But we see that most of these spies were doubting. They didn't think it could be done. There were only two who believed that they could go over into that land. And they were Caleb and Joshua. Now, continuing on here in Numbers 14, it tells us in verse 1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." Isn't that awful? Isn't that terrible? God had brought them out by a mighty hand. He had worked many miracles. And here they were. They come up against one challenge. One challenge. And they decide, this is impossible. This cannot be done. We cannot win against these giants. Oh, God should have just killed us in the land of Egypt or in this wilderness. People get that attitude sometimes, you know, when things aren't going their way. And you say, oh, God, why don't you just kill me now? Well, that's a horrible thing to say, and we should never have that attitude. God had done so much for these people, and here we see again the propensity of the Israelites to murmur and complain. But I'm going to tell you something. Murmuring and complaining against God will get you nowhere in life. We come before the Lord in humility. We bow down before Him. We seek His help. And when we do that in humility, He does reach down from heaven. He does touch His people. He does sustain His people. He does help His people. But here you see faithless Israelites. Verse 3, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And it's true, too. God brings people out of their sinful wickedness, their old ways, the old Egypt of this world. And a lot of times people, when the going gets tough, they want to go back, don't they? They want to go back to Egypt. Oh, you never, never should go back to Egypt. Egypt is bondage. Egypt is slavery. It is Jesus Christ who makes us alive and Jesus Christ who makes us free. Verse 4, "And they said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." Look at that. They were so defiant here. They were ready to turn back and go to Egypt. Apparently they had short memories and they did not remember how horrible and how difficult it was in Egypt. Oh, if they had gone back, they would have soon regretted their decision. Moses and Aaron, they didn't know what to do, so they fell on their faces. And verse 6 tells us, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." He's telling the people, don't be afraid. The Lord is on our side. We serve a God who specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too hard for Him. Giants cannot stand in the sight of God. Verse 10, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them." God here is saying they should know better. After everything I have done for these people, they should know better. They should know my strength. They should know my might. They should know what I can do. Verse 12, "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." Now, God knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. And the reason He's saying this is because he knew what Moses would do. Moses here would intercede on the behalf of the people as a type of Christ. These were a people who were very, very undeserving of this intercession that Moses made on their behalf, just as we all are undeserving of the intercession that Jesus made for us on the cross. So Moses, as a type of Christ, will now intercede for the people. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord, that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Oh, yes. God was with his people, and they knew he was with them because he gave them a cloud. His spirit was in that cloud, and that cloud went with the people as they journeyed. And at night, that cloud became a pillar of fire. It traveled with the people. It led them where they needed to go. Verse 15, now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation. And all of that is absolutely true. That is all absolutely true. That is the nature of our God. He is loving and he is compassionate. He is long-suffering. But he also pours out completely righteous judgment. And he is going to have mercy on these people, but there's going to be consequences for their rebellion, for their sin, for their iniquity. Verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. All of those people, those adults, those grown men and women who said, our children are going to fall in this land. They are going to be a prey to the Canaanites. God was not going to allow those doubters, those faithless people, to see the promised land. Instead, it would be their children, the ones they thought would become a prey. It would be their children who would go to that land victorious. And because of their doubt, because of their rebellion against the Lord, they were going to have to wander through the desert for 40 years. You know, if you get on Google Maps and you check the route from the land of Goshen, whereabouts that was in Egypt, and you put in Jerusalem, Israel, you learn that you can drive there nowadays in about 10 hours. You can travel that distance by car in about 10 hours. Now, obviously, it would take longer to walk, but it certainly would not take 40 years under normal circumstances. That was the penalty for their rebellion. Verse 22, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Caleb didn't go along with the crowd. He had a different spirit. The Spirit of God was working with him. And it's interesting, too, the way this was worded here. The Spirit was with him. It doesn't say that the Spirit was in him, because at this point in history, people did not receive the Holy Ghost yet. But the Spirit of God did go with people, did strengthen people, did help people. So the Spirit of God was with him. And he believed God. He knew that God had promised them that land, and he believed that they could take it because he believed God. So the Lord is saying here, Caleb is going to go. And Joshua, of course, would go, but that would be it. Everyone else from that generation would not see that good land. Verse 25, "Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." Because of their doubt, because of their unbelief, they did not believe they could possess the promised land. And because they did not believe that they could possess it, they never would. And the same holds true for God's people today. There is a promised land waiting for us, a new Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. But if you do not believe that you can get there, you will not get there. Doubt, unbelief, faithlessness will keep you out. And it kept these Israelites out of that blessed land, that land flowing with milk and honey. And that is the consequence of doubt. That is the consequence of not believing the Lord. We serve Almighty God. He can do all things. They should have known better, and yet they doubted. But now we're going to see, and at the very end of this chapter, they decided, well, okay, I guess we'll go over there and we'll try it. We'll try going into that land, and it did not bode well for them. Their opportunity had passed. God had already decided you were not entering into that land. Verse 34 tells us, "After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise." Yes, they sent those spies of that land to search out the land for 40 days. They came back with a bad report, an evil report. And because of that, God was going to give them a year for each day in the wilderness. Verse 35, "I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And verse 39 tells us, and Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Now God had already told them, it's too late, you're not going to go, you're not going to do it. But they were going to try it anyway. And verse 41 tells us, and Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. They had no protection. They were outside the will of God. They were being punished for their rebellion, for their murmuring, for their complaining, for their doubt, for their faithlessness, for their unbelief. Verse 43 tells us, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. When God tells you not to do something, you need to be obedient to that too. He told these people, it's too late. You can't go to that promised land. You are not going to live there. You're not going to see it. Your children will, but you will not. But they tried it anyway. And they lost badly when they did. They were defeated because they were in rebellion against God. And when you are in rebellion against God, that is a surefire way to be defeated. But we see here their doubt and their unbelief. They refused to even try. They thought, this is impossible. This cannot be done. And they paid a price for that. There were dire consequences for that unbelief. But Joshua was a man who became the successor of Moses. He led the Israelites. And one fine day, Joshua did lead those people into the promised land. And one of the first things they were going to have to do was to fight a battle. A battle that must have seemed impossible. But unlike the story in Numbers that we just read, in this story, which we are about to read in Joshua chapter 6, they were obedient to the Lord. And when they were obedient to the Lord, something miraculous happened. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, and this is going to tell us about something they had to do right after they had crossed into that promised land. There was an enemy there. There was a city there, a mighty city of Jericho, and you couldn't access this city easily because there was a big old wall in the way. A big wall. It seemed impossible to take that city. It seemed impenetrable. And yet, God was going to help His people. He was going to give them the victory. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 tells us, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The people of Jericho, they had seen the mighty things that God had done for His people, and they were afraid of the Israelites. They were afraid of what they had seen. God helped them, strengthened them, sustained them, and they knew it. So they were worried. And verse 2 tells us, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now God here is giving the people very specific instructions. He's telling them, this is the formula you must follow to obtain the victory. As long as you do these things, as you are told, you will be victorious. Those walls will come down. And you know what? If we are obedient to the Lord, if we follow His word, if we do what He tells us to do, those walls, those problems we face, they will come down and we will be victorious. The Lord helps His people when they are obedient. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Now notice here, this time they're being obedient. They didn't hear these instructions and scoff and say, oh, this is impossible. This cannot be done. Those walls aren't just going to miraculously come down. They didn't have that attitude this time. And that would be the natural reaction of man, but they did not have that reaction here. Instead, they were just obedient. They just did what God instructed. Verse 9 tells us, and the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Of course, the rearward or rearward is just the rear division in a military unit. It's an unusual word that you don't see too often. Verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did 6 days. They were following the instructions to the letter. They were doing exactly what God told them to do. And sometimes God will ask us to do things that seem unusual. Things that seem like a strange request. And I believe sometimes He does that just as a test to see if we'll be obedient to Him. But here we see they went around that wall of that city, Jericho, seven times, with seven being the number of perfection in the Bible. And I can't help but wonder what those people of Jericho thought. They saw this every day. Every day they would go around that wall. And you had these men, these soldiers, and they didn't say anything. Oh, yes, you had the men blowing the trumpets, but no words were spoken. They were quiet as a mouse, all of these soldiers. And I can't help but think that that must have made the people of Jericho tremendously nervous. They must have been wondering, what is going on? Are they going to attack us? What's taking so long? If you're going to attack us, just attack us. Stop torturing us. But God gave them specific instructions, and they were obedient. Verse 15 tells us, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." And you can read in early chapters in Joshua that they sent two spies to Jericho. And Rahab the harlot, she took them in, she hid them. And because she had done that kindness to those men, they would spare Rahab and her entire family. And what's really amazing about that is she actually became part of the line, the lineage from which Jesus Christ would come from, Rahab the harlot. Of course, after she became part of Israel, I'm sure she was no longer a harlot. I'm sure once the Lord began working with her, she was a changed woman. But she and her family would be the only survivors. People, they read this story and they think, well, that is so cruel that everyone else in the city was wiped out. But hey, they could have turned to the Lord also. They could have helped the Israelites also. They made a choice. And because of that choice, they were going to suffer the consequences of it. And Rahab and her family would be the sole survivors from this attack. Verse 18, "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Again, God gave them special instructions. They were not supposed to take the majority of the things they found in that city. There were certain things they could not touch. And the reason for that is because evil spirits like to attach themselves to objects. But God did instruct them that they could take the silver and gold and vessels of brass because God had a purpose for those things. They were needful. But everything else was to be destroyed. Verse 20, "So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Oh yes, they followed those instructions. And when they followed those instructions, when they were obedient to the Lord worked a miracle, and those walls, those intimidating, thick, big walls, fell down flat. Verse 21, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the country. You see, there is a drastic difference when we are obedient to the Lord, even when we are facing what looks like an impossible situation. We serve a God who can do the impossible. We serve a God who can bring down the walls of a city. We serve a God who can do anything. But we know that without the Lord's help, we can't do anything. In fact, John chapter 15, verse 5 tells us, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without the Lord's help, we can't do anything. But on the other hand, it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? Because Jesus Christ is a God without limitations. He is a God who can do the impossible. You know, sometimes little things will happen that just really are kind of amazing. I remember one time I was at my mom's house mowing the lawn and needed to get done, and it started to rain. And I talked to the Lord for a minute. I said, Lord, this lawn really needs to be mowed. Please hold back that rain until I finish mowing this lawn. And you know what happened? The rain stopped. And I finished mowing that lawn. And you know what happened when I was done? It started raining again. And that may seem like a little thing to some people, and some people might say it's a coincidence, but after a while, those coincidences, as they call them, start to pile up. I know earlier this year, I drive an older car. It's 11 years old now, and sometimes there are issues with it. Things break on a car that old from time to time, and at one point, the check engine light came on in our car, and I didn't know what to do. We didn't have the money to pay to get that fixed. But shortly thereafter, I got a call from my mom, and she said, someone sent you a gift. So I went over to Faith House to pick it up, and the gift was almost enough to pay for the entire repair bill on that car. Oh, it is amazing what God does for his people. And sometimes they seem like, you know, coincidences perhaps, but I don't believe that. I believe God knows what we need, and he provides for our needs. I've had that happen more times than I can count, when there's something that I need and he just provides it. Now, sometimes we don't get what we want, but he does give us what we need if we are faithful and obedient to him. And we serve a God who I believe protects his people. He watches over his people. He helps his people. I know earlier this year, in March, there was that explosion at that apartment. And there was a man who lived in that apartment who died, and that's very sad. I never rejoice over anyone's death, but I believe that that was God's hand working, because that man obviously was up to no good. I heard later that that man had enough explosives in his apartment to take out 4 city blocks. But God put a stop to it. Because we serve a God who helps his people, who sustains his people. We serve a God who does the impossible. And, you know, this message came to me very suddenly today, and I think that someone needed to hear it. And obviously, we were being fought on this. You know, right as we were about to get started, I'd lost my voice, and then I had written down the wrong place in Scripture. But you know what? We got through it, because the Lord does help his people. And I believe that he helps me tonight. And I believe he helps me every time I get up here. I couldn't do this on my own. If I didn't know that the Lord was with me, I wouldn't even try. But we serve a God who helps his people, is with his people. We serve a God who can do all things. We serve a God with whom nothing shall be impossible. So I'm going to close with a prayer right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, thanking thee this night for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace. We thank thee for thy protection. We thank thee for thy gifts that thou hast given us. We thank thee for thy help. We thank thee for all the ways that thou hast sustained us. And I pray, O God, that thou would help us to continue to believe on thee, continue to walk with thee, to walk in faith, to do that which is right, to do that which is good in thy sight. For we never want to murmur or complain against thee, O God, but we want to believe on thee completely, fully, knowing well, full well that thou art a God who specializes in the impossible, a God with whom nothing is too hard. Help us, O God, to walk in thy light, walk in thy love, and to walk in faith, obedient unto thee all the days of our lives. We ask for thy blessing to be upon us, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, it looks like Jane has a note here. Okay. This is a prayer request from Sophia. She would like prayer. She is going on a trip to Great America in Illinois tomorrow with her class. And she's asking prayer that it'll be a safe trip. So we're going to bring that before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer on behalf of Sophia, on behalf of her entire class, praying, O God, that thou would go with them. We ask that thy protecting hand would be upon them. We ask for safe travels. We ask that they would return safely from their destination. We pray that all would go well, that there would be no issues whatsoever, but we ask for thy protecting hand to be upon them all. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing. We're going to turn to number 29 in the chorus book. We are able. Number 29. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, God will surely grant the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, God will surely grant the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, God will surely grant the victory. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.